Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Robert Schuller. You're watching the Robert Schuller Ministries, A Church with No Walls, and this is our church service. And so we are here every Sunday morning. And we just want to let you know that we're glad you're here and we're glad you're joining us. Well, if you'll notice, I usually have Donna sitting next to me. And this morning she's not here. And the reason she isn't is because she went to Utah to watch our granddaughter as the granddaughter's parents went to Houston because my daughter-in-law, Sage Schuller, ran in the Houston Marathon this morning, and she literally just finished like 2 minutes ago. So this is live, hot off the press news. She finished eighth place out of 350. Fourth place out of 2,500. I don't know what this means. I guess it would be eighth place in her division. But she ran the marathon, the Houston Marathon, in 2 hours, 56 minutes, and 50 seconds. That was her final time. Her goal was to break the three-hour barrier. She did it. She's qualified to run the Boston. She's going to run the Boston for the second time. To tell you how fast that is, she ran about, at halfway through, her pace was 2:41. And that's 6 minutes, 6:41, 6 minutes and 41 seconds per mile. That is fast. And how fast some of these runners are, the first place came from, no surprise, Ethiopia. The second place came from Kenya. And these are women who ran the race in 2 hours and 12 minutes. Oh, mind-blowing. But anyway, that's where Donna is. She's watching our granddaughter so that Sage could run in this race. And she did, and she finished. And so it's a... I miss Donna, of course, we all do. But hey, I'm going to fill in for her. I'm going to read the scripture and offer a prayer. And we're going to start by calling this service to order by saying, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day where we can come and we can pray, that we can share your good news with the world, that you came into this place that we might be able to have a clear understanding of who you are. You were born, you lived, you taught. And so today, oh Lord, we pray that we will have new experiences and understanding of who Jesus was. So we thank you for everything. And we praise your name always and forever. Amen. So I miss the opportunity to go back and forth with Donna. But as a result of that, I'm going to probably say hi to some of the people who are in our chat room right now. So I want to say hi to Lawrence Goodstein. Or he likes to go by Good Spine because he's a chiropractor. Lynn Childers, Judith Bruce. I don't know how to pronounce your last name. I'm sorry, Judith Broussou. Anyway, Judith, it's good to see you this morning. And there's a lot more. Anyway, we just want to say good morning to all of you and let you know, indeed, this is a day for us to be able to come together to praise God, to worship him, and to give him glory. So one of the things we do is we have a scripture and prayer. We have a couple announcements. And one of the things I've been doing lately is and there's a few other people who are now getting on here. Mary Armstrong, shout out to you and Linnell, and Brousseau. Okay. Judith, just let me know. Ha ha. The way is Brousseau. Got it. Okay. So obviously I don't speak French very well at all. Anyway, one of the things I've been doing on Sunday mornings is I've been giving a little update on news that you may not have heard about, that the mainline media may not be talking about. And this week, I'm really excited to share the good news that there was elections in Taiwan. Taiwan is a critical place right now. China is claiming Taiwan as their personal territory. They went in and they did everything they could to manipulate the elections. They threatened everybody. They put certain things into place. They said, if you don't elect this certain party, it'll mean war, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They want Taiwan as part of their country for several reasons. First of all, Taiwan makes the most advanced chips in the world in conjunction with the United States. And as a result of that, they're far more technical than what China currently has the ability to make. And if they can annex Taiwan, they're hoping they can get access to that technology, which gives them a future for world domination, because China's goal, they have said it publicly, is world domination. And so that's not a secret. That's not conspiracy theory. You can read about it. And that is their goal. They want to be Pax China, meaning they want to be the peacekeepers of the world that America has had for the past, 75 years, and maybe 100 years. And I like Pax Americana a lot better than Pax China, because Pax Americana, it promotes freedom, it promotes democracy, while Pax China will promote communism and the like. So they did everything they could to occupy that and that country through the elections. The good news is they failed. The current president of Taiwan is this man. Let me see if it'll come up. There it is. And that happens to be William Lai of the DDP party. It's a Democratic party. He was democratically elected. And he is and so anyway, it is a vote for freedom. It is a vote for the fact that they don't want to be part of China, and it's a defeat for China and a win for America. And so I'm very excited about that, because that is tremendous good news for the world, because China having control of Taiwan gives them access for deep ports and launching pads from the east to the west, and they will continue their march across the Asian Pacific, if they have their wish, they have their goals. The other good news that is that China is suffering some real economic downturns right now, so they probably will not have any moves to attack Taiwan, because they cannot afford it. They do not have the support of their own population. So again, more good news for the world, for democracy, for freedom. And so that's one of the things I want to share with you, that, again, I don't watch mainline media, so maybe it was all over the news, and maybe it's all over everywhere today, but I didn't know that. So if somebody who watches mainline news could tell me, that'd be great. But anyway, I want to give a shout out to Phil Unger and Joni McCollum, Linnell Titello. So I hope I'm not missing anybody. But again, this is our church. We come together and we worship God with a full understanding that He gives us freedom through Christ, through His power. And so with that, let me go ahead and read our scripture passage for today. I actually printed this out because, and you'll see it here, then maybe you can see the lettering. Oh, there it is. You can see I printed it out. I printed it out so I could highlight the words of Jesus in red. So almost everything I read today, you can be assured, are the actual words of Jesus recorded in the 6th chapter of John. And so I'm going to read these for you today. It's Jesus talking about being the bread of life. This morning I'm going to be starting this, or actually I guess I started it last week with the introduction, to the I ams of Jesus. What are the I ams of Jesus? It's the times where Jesus said, I am. And so I'll talk a little bit more about that. But let me continue by reading our passage today from John 6. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the work God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Very truly, I tell you, it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last days. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent him draws them. And I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has ever seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last days. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever drinks my flesh and drinks my blood, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. The words of Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending the bread of life into this world, that whoever believes in these words will have everlasting life. And so we thank you for your teachings. We thank you for the freedom we have to be able to read, to believe, to act, to understand. We thank you, Lord, that you're in process right now of revealing your love to the world. So touch each and every heart and soul with your goodness. May we feed on the bread of life, the body of Jesus Christ that is broken for our healing. And may we experience everlasting life through him. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen. So, every single Sunday morning, we, as part of our worship, collect an offering because it literally is our worship. You know, if you go and you look at ancient religions of and foreign religions with deities that were created in the minds of men, you will always see people going and putting a pinch of incense or making some kind of a sacrifice, of usually including some kind of a blood sacrifice of an animal or even a human. And here in the Christian faith, Jesus becomes the Lamb of God that becomes the sacrifice that whoever believes in him, whoever understands that he shed his blood for our salvation, has the freedom to be able to give whatever we want to give. It doesn't have to be any kind of a blood sacrifice. It doesn't require us to make sacrifices of great pain or religious significance. What it does require is, first and foremost, a heart and a mind who understands that grace is a gift from God. It's nothing we can buy. When you give your donations to a church, to the kingdom of God, you're not buying your way into heaven. That's what Martin Luther did when he nailed his thesis to the doors of Wittenberg. One of the things he was saying is, we penance does not work. You can't go and buy your way out of your sin. It is a gift from God. It is the grace of Jesus. And that's what Jesus is talking about here with eternal life and being the bread of life. But today what we do is we give out of thanksgiving. It's an expression of our thanks for everything we have received from God. That's what our offerings are. They are an expression of our faith that God will provide, Jehovah Jireh, that God will provide. He is the Lord of provision, that as we trust in him, we can give, as the Bible says, a tenth. And if, and as Jesus said, if you don't have the faith to give a tenth, you give whatever your faith allows, and God will reward you according to your faith. The Bible says in Luke, with what measure you give, it shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. And so the blessings you receive in your life will continue to be enhanced as you trust in the faithfulness of God to first of all, provide you with the sustenance, Jehovah Jireh, second of all, with his grace of Jesus Christ, the bread of life for eternal life, and that his blood sanctifies us from our sins and has freed us from the dominion of the devil to live forever in paradise with him. We don't give our gifts as a means of atonement. We don't give our means as a means of forgiveness. We give our gifts out of an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving for all that God has given to us, because everything we have has been given to us by God. We are stewards of everything that we possess. And as stewards, one of the things that God requests of us is to support his church. So if you wish to support this ministry, there's a few ways you can do that. The best way is to go to our website. It's drschuller.org, drschuller.org. And I spell that out because otherwise a closed caption does not know what to do with that. So you go to drschuller.org and you will see a button there that says, I'd like to give. And then you follow the prompts. If you want to become a recurring donor, that is fantastic. That works really well for us as far as our planning and as far as our budgeting is concerned. And here at the beginning of the year is a perfect time to do that. Maybe you want to consider $24 a month for 2024. Well, I had a little drawback there. For 2024, $24 a month. Maybe you want to consider giving a dollar a week, $4. Maybe you want to give $100 a month or more. It's up to you and God. It's not up to me. It's not up to anyone except what you and God want to do. So one way is to become a recurring donor. Another way is to actually write to us at 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California. That address is also at the bottom of our website at drschuler.org, and you can find the address there. A third way is to give through Venmo, and let me see if I can pull up our Venmo. This is working really slowly. Let me see if I can find our Venmo QR code. There it is. So you can give through Venmo, and this is what it looks like. It's Robert Schuler Ministries, at Robert Schuler Ministries, and that's our Venmo account. And if you have a phone, if you're watching on this other than your phone, you can use your phone to take you straight to the Venmo account. You can just point your camera at that, and it'll take you straight there. So anyway, those are three ways that you can give. Mail in your check to, you can go Venmo, free, go to our giving platform. And so whatever you can give will truly be appreciated. So we hold services every Sunday morning at the Community Center. It's 100 Civic Center Drive, Newport Beach, California. Those services start at 10:30. And if you're ever in the Southern California area, you can come on down to Newport Beach and you can worship with us. The service is about an hour long. So you'll have time afterwards to go get something to eat. You can take the ferry across from Balboa Island to the peninsula. And you can get a little boat ride on the ferry. It only costs a couple dollars. It's amazing. And it's a wonderful, you can just have a wonderful day and enjoy Newport Beach. And I'm there almost every Sunday. I think I take three or four Sundays off a year. But most of the time I'm there, and you can shake my hand. You can give me some information. You can do whatever you feel called by God to do. And you can participate that way. So I want to encourage you to do that. On the 15th of the month, which is tomorrow night, we're going to be interviewing a neurologist, and we're going to be talking about brain health and how to and intermittent fasting and certain supplements you can do in order to expand the ability of your brain to function better than you could possibly ever imagine. Alzheimer's disease, even if you have a very serious history of it, can be limited to a great degree and preventative if you have the preventative genes completely. And again, we'll be talking all about that tomorrow. We'll be on at 6 p.m. Pacific time. It is the call. So you'll want to tune into wherever you're tuning in now, or you can use the actual phone number. And if you wish that number, you can find that on our website at drschuler.org. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Drop my Bible. Let me pick it up here. Maybe you heard it fall, and because I'm going to need it today for our messages. So with that, I'm going to continue to talk about our message. And let me just, before I start, maybe see if there's any other. Susie Kuiman. It's good to have you on today. And so again, I am going through a series of messages entitled The I Ams of Jesus. I am is present tense. It is exactly what God said to Moses in Exodus 3. It is a declaration of Yahweh, that he is God. And it's no wonder then that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of his day became very concerned, because he is claiming to be God. When he said, I am, as opposed to I was, I will be, or some other term, it makes a huge difference, because specifically the verb that Jesus uses when he says he is the bread of life, he does not use the bread of life. He does not use bios, the word bios. He uses, which would be biological life. He uses the word zoe, which is spiritual life, because that's what this whole passage is all about. If you go back and you read the entire chapter of John chapter 6, you'll find out, I keep dropping my Bible, excuse me. You'll find out a couple things. First of all, it's a very long chapter. It's over 70 verses long. So I had to, as it was, the reading was long. I think most of you will understand that. And the passage of John chapter 6 is an amazing chapter, all of which pertains to this message that we receive from Jesus. It opens up with Jesus feeding the 5,000. Excuse me. It opens up with Jesus feeding the 5,000. What is that? It was on a hillside around the Sea of Galilee and or the Lake of Gennesaret. And people are following Jesus no matter where he would go. And they're in the middle of this wilderness. There's no food nearby. There was nothing that people could eat. And so Jesus said, well, don't look at what you don't have. Look at what you do have. I've preached on this topic many times, and it's a very important thing for us to understand. We have to look at what we do have, not what we don't. So Jesus tells his disciples, see what food we do have, because we have to feed everybody. People are, I would assume they're having some problems. Maybe some people were fainting from low blood sugar, et cetera, et cetera. And so he says, what do we have? And the disciples came back with two loaves and five fish. What was it? Five loaves and two fish. I can't remember. And it doesn't matter, to be quite honest. And he came back with, they said, this is all we have for 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. So if there was 5,000 men, there was probably there's probably more women than men, which means there's probably 6,000 or 7,000 women. And if there's and if you have that many women, then you probably have 2 to 3 children for every woman and for every family. So I wouldn't be surprised if you have a total of 20,000 people there. 20,000 people, and Jesus is teaching them on the hillside. And they're going to feed 20,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus started dividing up the bread, dividing up the fish, and passing it out. When everyone was full, they then went and collected the leftovers. And they had 12 baskets full of leftovers. God's provision for you is always beyond what you need. God knows your needs. He knows what you require. And he is there to care for you. His grace is more than sufficient. That's what this passage tells us today, that his grace is far more sufficient than the most heinous crimes and sins that we have committed. When we come to Jesus, he will heal our land. He will heal our souls. He'll heal our minds. He is a God of grace and a God of love. So immediately following that, he goes into the wilderness, and his disciples start going back to Capernaum, which is where the home of Jesus was and the home of Peter. And it is at this time that Jesus literally walks on the water. He walks on the water, and his disciples then continue on to Capernaum after this. I'm not going to go into all the details, but I tell you both of those things because one of the things that I left out of this passage that I read this morning was verse 30. Listen to this verse 30. Jesus is talking about being the bread of life. And he said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. In other words, Jesus is saying, all you have to do in order to receive the bread of life that lasts for eternity is to believe that I am the bread of life. I am the one sent by God. I am the Messiah. I am. And I'm getting a text message from Donna, so I want to make sure there's Everything is good. Anyway, so it was more information about the Houston Marathon. If you guys came in late, I'm going to take a break a minute to let you know that Donna's not here because she is in Utah babysitting our granddaughter while our son and his wife are at the Houston Marathon that took place today. And our daughter-in-law is an elite athlete and just finished the Houston Marathon this 35 minutes ago. And she did it in 2 hours and 57 minutes. To give you an idea how fast that is, her pace was 6 minutes and 40 some seconds per mile for 27 miles. I mean, she's an elite athlete, to say the least. But anyway, Donna is there, and that's why she's not here with us today. But what we're talking about is the fact that Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And as I was saying earlier in chapter 6 alone, in John chapter 6, it opens up with Jesus feeding the 5,000, which is really 20,000 people. It was 5,000 men, plus the women and children, probably 20,000 people. And he fed it to the point where they were full. They couldn't eat any more. And they had 12 baskets of food left over. And I can talk about why the number 12. And then he walks on the water. We have that passage. And then he's talking about the bread of life. And Jesus said to them, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent, to believe in me, basically is what he's saying. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. I mean, are these people dense? Jesus himself just fed 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He just walked on the water. What signs will you do? And the question is, what sign is good enough for you to believe? And that's true with us today. What signs do you have to see in order to believe? God is constantly producing miracles and creating signs for you and for me to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is God in human flesh, that Jesus always has been, always will be, that he was pre-existent with God, that God sent him as the bread of life into this world, in the incarnation, extended himself into the form of Jesus in Bethlehem. He was born. He grew to be a man. He walked among us. He performed all these signs and wonders. And today, Jesus is still performing signs and wonders. It happens all the time. I've seen it happen in my own life time and time again, physically, financially, spiritually, familially. My family is continuing to grow spiritually in other ways. And it is exciting to see that God is at work, that he is making a change, that miracles happen every day. You need to open your eyes and simply realize that we don't need any more signs. The signs are real. Existence of our physical life is a huge sign. The odds that we're alive today on planet Earth are so astronomical. It's beyond our comprehension how wild it is. And yet we fail to believe. St. Thomas, after Jesus had risen from the dead and appeared to all the apostles, said, put your hands here. Put your finger here. Put your hand in my side. And with that, Thomas believed. And Jesus said, Blessed are those who have seen me and believed. And even more blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. Jesus is calling. God is calling. He's calling you to come and to believe that Jesus is the bread of life, that he is our sustenance. He is our provider. He is our God. He will take care of us in every way, shape, and form. That's our message. That's what I read today. That's what I want you to hear. You can go back and read chapter 6 of John. It's a long chapter. It'll take you 10, 15 minutes maybe. But hear these words that God calls. Jesus is the bread of life, pre-existent. He was the manna that fell in the wilderness, and he is the bread of life today. If we had communion just a couple weeks ago, otherwise I'd take communion today, because this is a perfect passage for those who are preparing to have communion on this. In fact, the next time I have communion, I'm going to read this passage again. He who eats my flesh, and this is metaphorically, we're not physical. Obviously, the physical flesh of Jesus no longer exists. The flesh of Jesus is in heaven with God, and not available for us to literally eat. This is not literal. Some people have criticized Christianity, saying, oh, we eat the flesh of Jesus, we drink his blood, we're cannibals. No, this is a metaphor. And the metaphor is that he wants to be inside us, nourishing us, giving us spiritual life. Again, it's Zoe, not bios. It is spiritual life, not physical life. And the same with the blood of Jesus Christ. So when we take communion, we take a piece of bread representing the body of Jesus Christ that is broken for our healing. And we ingest that, and it gives us healing. And then we take the cup, and which represents represents the blood of Jesus Christ, which is shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And the calling that we have here is that anyone who comes, and without reading the whole thing again, it's very clear, anyone and everyone who comes to Jesus, he will not cast out. He will embrace. He will forgive their sins, and he will forgive your sins. He will heal you. That's what this passage is all about. And he said, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last days. And so we see and we hear that Jesus is, always has been, always will be, the provider of bios and zoes, biological life and spiritual life. He will continue to bring us joy and happiness and goodness as we continue to believe in his words, trust in his promises, and follow him always. So let us come before God and rededicate our hearts right now to the saving grace of Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave us your Son, Jesus, that as we believe in his grace and his goodness and his mercy, that we will find renewness in our minds, our hearts, and our souls, that we'll have the confidence and the assurance that all things will work together for good to those who love you. And so we love you, Lord, and we are called by you right now to follow Jesus. So allow us to follow him wherever he leads. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always and forever. Amen. Go to our website, drschuller.org, and follow the prompts, support this ministry, realize that God is blessing you always and in all things. Go with him. Have a great week. We'll see you tomorrow, 6 p.m. Pacific time.